From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, January 20th. Coming up, the Illinois Public Safety and Violence Commission Prevention Task Force recently held a hearing about an increase in K-12 school violence over the past few years. We'll learn more from Peter Medlin coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. This week, the Illinois State Board of Education unanimously approved a budget advanced by outgoing State Superintendent Carmen Ayala. The budget asks state lawmakers to increase spending on K-12 education by $350 million, but advocates say that's not nearly enough. Many asked for a $550 million increase, pointing out that Illinois is far behind its goal of adequately funding all schools by 2027. Board member Roger Eddy voted for the budget, saying $550 million would be rejected by state lawmakers.
We want to make sure people aren't planning their budget based on pixie dust.
But Eddy pointed out $350 million is the minimum increase required by state law, and that the state took in more revenue than expected last year. The family of a Springfield man who suffocated after being strapped face down to a stretcher has filed a civil lawsuit against the ambulance company and two EMTs. 35-year-old Earl Moore Jr. died in December while being transported to a Springfield hospital. The Sangamon County coroner determined the death to be a homicide, and the two workers, Peggy Finley and Peter Cadigan, have been charged with first-degree murder. Moore's mother, Rose Washington, talked about the pain she's felt losing her son.
My son was clearly struggling, and he needed help. He needed emergency medical attention. Instead, these workers treated him like he wasn't even human. They tied him down like some kind of animal.
The family has hired attorney Ben Crump. He's also represented families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and others in wrongful death cases. The lawsuit names the LifeStar Ambulance Service and the two EMTs. It seeks unspecified damages. The Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College is hosting two shows in Spanish this weekend. As Illinois Newsroom's Luis Velasquez reports, Big Bird will make a cameo in one.
At 1 p.m. tomorrow, Big Bird from Sesame Street will describe, in Spanish, which constellations appear on the dome-shaped screen at Parkland College. Ricardo Covarrubias is a professor at Parkland College and is in charge of the event. He says he hopes to inspire interest about the galaxies and grow connections within local Latino families.
Kids cannot come alone, so they come with their parents, and I would like to have their parents go out with the kids and look at what they saw, recognize, oh my God, Big Bird showed us the North Pole star. And then they can go outside together, look at the sky and see where it is.
Tickets are available for purchase at the planetarium and are priced at $6 for adults and $5 for children or students. The second showing is at 2 p.m. and is less kid-focused. I am Luis Velasquez, Illinois Newsroom.
The Fighting Illini men's basketball team lost to the Indiana Hoosiers last night, 80-65 at State Farm Center in Champaign. Terrence Shannon Jr. led the Illini in scoring with 26 points. Shannon spoke after the game about how missing shots at the rim and free throws led to the Illini loss.
And we missed a lot of layups, starting with me. We got to finish better, and we got to make free throws. We think we missed about 14 free throws.
The Illini fall to 13-6 on the season. They're 4-4 against Big Ten opponents, which places them 7th in the conference standings. Illinois will host Ohio State on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Still to come, we'll learn more about the increase in violence in Illinois' K-12 schools over the past few years. That story from Peter Medlin is next on 217 Today.
Coming up on the Atomic Age Cocktail Party, it's music for nightcaps. Wonderful and lush sounds for end-of-the-evening cocktails. We'll hear from Jackie Gleason, the 101 Strings, Paul Weston, the Norman Luboff Choir, George Shearing, and many more. I'm your host, Jason Croft. Tune in Friday nights at 9 and Saturday nights at 11 on WILL FM 90.9 and always on demand at will.illinois.edu.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The Illinois Public Safety and Violence Prevention Task Force recently held a hearing about an increase in K-12 school violence over the past few years. Peter Medlin has more.
Around one-third of teachers in the United States say they've experienced at least one incident of verbal harassment or threat of violence from students during the pandemic. That's according to a 2022 survey from the American Psychological Association. It's a big jump from before COVID, when 10% of teachers reported being threatened. That's one reason why late last year, the Illinois Legislature's Public Safety and Violence Prevention Task Force met with educators and school administrators to talk about these challenges. Some educators from the Illinois Education Association shared testimony of traumatic experiences from the classroom.
Last week, a student made threats to a teacher and said he is conducting a survey with other students to figure out which teacher he should kill. A coworker reported this incident to the principal and other management at the district. Nothing has been done, and the student is back in class.
The teachers from across Illinois also shared stories about students hitting and throwing chairs at them. Some educators say the massive disruption of the pandemic is behind the increase in extreme student behaviors. It could be partly to blame with younger students who might have been at home for part of pre-K or elementary school, crucial developmental years where kids learn so many social-emotional skills. Mel Gilfallon says that's what he sees. He's the president of the Rockford Education Association, and he says when you think of school violence, your mind might automatically picture a big high school student threatening a classmate or teacher, but that's not what's most common.
We have seen an uptick in some aggressive behaviors, especially from our youngest students.
He says Rockford teachers brought these concerns to the union early in this school year. They followed up with district administration, and teachers are still bouncing around solution ideas on district advisory boards. Solutions are difficult to find, but especially so when it comes to the youngest students.
You can't just suspend somebody who's five, walk them out of the building. They've got to be supervised at all times.
State Representative Barbara Hernandez, a Democrat from Aurora, sits on the task force. And she says that one thing that stuck out to her during the meeting was that schools respond or don't respond to these issues in different ways.
Schools not having a path, a solution, or a protocol to certain items. If a student hits a teacher or they get in trouble or safety concerns, I feel like there's not a specific standardized protocol.
And like that threat described by the Illinois Education Association, not every teacher gets support from their school to solve these problems. Unique Morris with the IEA says administrators will often tell educators that their hands are tied. There's nothing they can do to help.
They will say because of Senate Bill 100, we are not able to have any consequences, which I know is not true. That's a misinterpretation.
Senate Bill 100 went into effect back in 2016. It told schools to limit exclusionary discipline like suspensions and expulsions and to only resort to it if they've exhausted other interventions and the student's presence would be a threat to safety or significantly disrupt learning. But it's up to schools to decide when a student has stepped over that significant disruption line. Jadine Chow is the chief of safety and security at Chicago Public Schools, who presented to the task force. She says in a situation where a student is having some kind of crisis episode, their best practice is actually not to remove the student from the classroom, but to remove everyone else. Then they have trained behavioral specialists who can de-escalate the situation. But after that situation, how do schools evaluate how they can help students showing extreme behavior? For one, Chow says at CPS, they look at if the student is on an individualized education plan. If so, are they receiving those services? Are they working with school mental health professionals? Does the school even have social workers on site? And if they need even more guidance, school districts are now required to have threat assessment teams to help make decisions about whether a student's presence is disruptive or threatening. And more school districts are taking steps to decrease exclusionary discipline. Removing a student from their classroom might work to stop the behavior now, but it may not help get down to the root causes of an issue and prevent it for the long term. Many, like Chicago Public Schools, are implementing elements of restorative justice. They say that doesn't mean no consequences, but rather, hopefully, instructive ones and interventions like trauma-informed therapy. Representative Hernandez and the task force will publish a report this year on their findings, and she says lawmakers on the task force may file school safety-related bills in the current legislative session as well. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have cloudy skies today with a high of 36 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Sienna Greaves, Sean Crawford, Luis Velasquez, Colin Highslope, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.